Welcome to the Strength Talking Shop podcast. I'm your host, Matt Smith. We talk all things strength, coaching, fitness, nutrition, powerlifting, strongman. If it involves a barbell, we're going to talk about it. We are presented by Optimum Nutrition Athletics. We all know that protein is the key to muscle recovery, and Gold Standard's best-selling 100% whey protein provides 24 grams of protein that mixes easily using just a glass and spoon. Gold Standard 100% whey is made in their state-of-the-art facility. It's banned substance tested by Informed Choice. And with Optimum Nutrition Athletics program, you can get different items such as their Pro Gainer, which is their mass gainer, protein snacks such as their crisp bars, wafers, cake bites, and almonds. And after dominating the sports and nutrition industry for over 30 years, newly created Optimum Nutrition Athletics brings that same trust and quality that knows how to put convenient options for protein in the hands of athletes who desire to become bigger, stronger, and better at their sport. If this is something that you're interested in getting into your facility, reach out to Dave Harvey of Optimum Nutrition Athletics. Down in the show notes, he's got his email. Dave and the team at Optimum Nutrition Athletics are absolutely amazing. They'll get everything that you need. I use their products every single day. I use the Gold Standard 100% whey for my post-workouts, if I need something quick for protein on the go throughout the day. And also, if I need to grab a snack, I'll just grab one of the almonds, some of the cake bites, and then also the crisps. Absolutely love the crisps and the almonds. So make sure you reach out to Dave Harvey of Optimum Nutrition Athletics, and thank you for being our sponsor. Hey, yo, welcome to the Strength Talking Shop podcast. Very excited to have the head of sports performance at the University of Missouri, St. Louis. We've got Coach Josh McMillan on here. How are you, Josh?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. I'm very excited to have Josh on here. He's just right down the road from me in St. Louis, home of probably the best barbecue in the world, Sugar Fire Barbecue. We talked beforehand a little bit about that and, you know, his background and stuff. But Josh, you know, it's March. I know you said you're on spring break's going on right now and stuff like that with home life and everything like that. But, you know, how have things been? What's going on now at your school?
Well, March for me is actually a great time just to get some downtime at school. My kids are on spring break this week, but I have it next week. But my university, kind of how we're set up, is we have a lot of our teams are in season in the spring. And so I really only have three off-season teams, two of which are soccer and one's volleyball. Everybody else, they're competing. So their training volume with me is lessened. And then some of our winter sports like basketball and swim, they're just kind of in a down period where they're not training right now until April. So definitely a time for me to breathe. I got a couple of short days a week, which are really nice. So I'm enjoying it.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's great to have that little bit of downtime and like the ebb and flow throughout the season, everything like that. How many teams are at Missouri St. Louis?
I think technically we're up to 19 now. Okay. And when I say 19, I mean that cross country and track counts as six.
Okay.
So that number's inflated a little bit. And we added that sport actually right before COVID. So we have pretty small numbers there right now. So we have about 250 student athletes, which is, it's pretty manageable. I've got some friends at work at universities where they've got like 700 or 800, and I'm like, man, I don't know how you do it.
Yeah.
But we're fortunate. We've got 19 and 250. So it's a pretty manageable setup.
So what is it like being, you know, the kind of the head of the sports performance and being the person that runs over everything in the weight room?
I mean, it's nice. One thing I like about it is I get to know all the student athletes. You know, yeah. I'm working with everybody, and our athletic director at UMSL, I mean, she's a big proponent of strength and conditioning. So everybody's going to see me at least a couple times a week. So really just getting to know everybody, you know, helping them out. And for me, I'm lucky. I've got a part-time assistant. He comes in the evening and helps me with a couple groups. I normally have an intern or two. So yeah, it's just kind of great getting to know everybody and working with all the sports and just building those relationships with the kids.
Yeah, I'm glad that you spoke upon that as far as like building a relationship and getting to know everybody. I find it to be fascinating when you talk to some coaches, they don't even know some of the players' names on the teams that are coming in and everything like that. I definitely believe that building that relationship and actually getting to know the person, boy, I believe that they're going to have a better time coming to the weight room, right?
Oh, sure. No doubt. I mean, I think, you know, a lot of what I try to do with the kids is I don't necessarily talk about all the sets and reps, and it's more really trying to find out kind of how school is going, maybe some find some things that they're interested like outside of school and sports, and maybe try to find some kind of connection that way. Of course, you talk training here and there, like you're correct and maybe some of the things they're doing wrong or helping them with their technique. But, you know, I try to make it very conversational in there and make it a place they want to come in. Cause I mean, honestly, like some of our kids, you know, they're there to play their sport. They might not necessarily like to lift weights. So, mm-hmm. you know, I just try to make it a very inviting environment. So even if maybe the weight room's not their favorite place to be, at least they can enjoy, you know, coming in there and they know it's going to be a positive atmosphere.
Yeah, I think you kind of nailed it on the head there when you talked about how they're there to play their sport. They're not there to become weightlifters, powerlifters, or whatever that is, right? They're trying to use the weight room by any means to help them be successful within the field and everything like that. And I think as a strength coach, once you kind of understand that a little bit, boy, man, it makes your job a lot easier.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I think partly being a student athlete myself back in the day, and then yeah. also being like a sport coach, I've had some different perspectives. So, I mean, I just probably have a little bit better understanding of that, which, and being older and being through it for almost 15 years now, I mean,
right.
you know, you just kind of get better at it.
Right. Cause you were at Belmont prior to UMSLA, correct? What was that experience like?
I mean, honestly, it was unbelievable. So like kind of to give you a little bit of background on that, I went to Belmont originally as a track and field graduate assistant.
Okay.
So I finished up at my college career as a shot putter at Lindenwood, which is in St. Charles here in Missouri. And at the time they were NAIA, and I'm like, I want to coach, you know, I want to be a throws coach. And I didn't even know strength and conditioning was something that people did. I had no idea. And I mean, to kind of date that a little bit, that was in 2004. So mm-hmm. I knew nothing about the profession or that it was a profession. So I get to Belmont as a throws coach and I meet a strength coach and I'm like, man, like they do this. Like you actually write weight training programs for like the volleyball team and basketball teams. And, you know, I kind of got to build a little bit of a relationship with the guy that was there my first year. And so, you know, I'm there as a throws coach. And then my second year, so first year was just strictly throws. I would do their weight program as well. And, my second year, they had a change in the sport performance coach there, and I developed a relationship with him, and I essentially did two GAs my second year. I GA'd in the weight room, GA'd as a throws coach, and, you know, some days are crazy, like crazy long, but honestly, it worked out for me. Like, I went from being a GA there, and Belmont actually hired me on part-time when I graduated as a throws coach. And I stayed in the weight room. I would, after I graduated, I still did all the track and field stuff as far as the weight room went. And I still continued to assist the guy at the time, his name's Scott Kirchman, still kept helping him out. And, you know, one thing led to another, like after a couple of years of staying on there part-time and doing both roles, he ended up getting an opportunity to go to another university, and Belmont essentially offered me the position when he left as the head strength coach. So I really went from being an assistant track and field coach working with throwers to the next thing I know, I'm the head strength coach, you know, at a Division I university. And I mean, you know, that just really doesn't happen. I mean, I don't think that would happen today. I was just very fortunate. I mean, it was very, I kind of tell this story all the time. I mean, it was as simple as, I went into the AD's office at the time and he's like, do you want to be our strength coach? And I'm like, well, yeah, you know, I love it. You know? And he's like, well, you know, as long as our basketball coaches like you, you know, we see no problem with it. So I end up having a meeting with them, and it was a really low key meeting. And they didn't care really what I did in the weight room. They just wanted to know that I was personable and the guys could relate to me, and they could build relationships with me. And I sold them on the fact that I could. Next thing you know, I'm the head strength coach at Belmont. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, to be in Nashville and work at that university and have that opportunity. I mean, it's just, you know, I didn't realize at the time, like how special that was of an opportunity I got. I mean, I do now.
Yeah.
That place has blown up big time. They've got great facilities over there now. They got a guy running that program that's really sharp and really good, and they've just done a lot of big things with their sports. So, yeah, just unbelievable just how fortunate I was to land that spot, my first initial spot.
Well, the thing about that story and kind of – I'm glad you shared that with me too as well, and like how you got to position at Belmont. It's like there was a lot of hard work that went into that, right? Day to day, you're doing two GA spots, essentially, like you said, long days, but you kept showing up. I think that is a huge lesson. I'll go ahead and plug Josh Bonital on here from Future. He talks about it all the time, like showing up is a skill. And I think that is super important, whether you're maybe not in the current role that you want to be in right now and you want to do something else in the future, but you got to keep showing up to what you're doing right now. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, no doubt. I mean, that really gets overlooked because it's crazy, but people can't show up consistently. Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's a value worth having for sure. Just getting there.
Exactly. Just that consistency of showing up and putting the work in every single day. I think Dan John has a great quote where it's like something along the lines of like great athletes are built upon boring workouts or something like that. And I know I just butchered that quote big time, but it's so true. It's like the little things that you do over time, they emasculate over to big things. That's a great lesson that you can teach your athletes too as well. How many times have we seen an athlete that come, they're supposed to be in, well, if the sport coach intervenes, you know, it might be some changes, but supposed to be in there 3 days a week, but they maybe miss a day or they're inconsistent with their effort throughout the weight room. And it's like, hey, if you just put in the effort, you showed up every day, you might see some better results when you step out on the field.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
It's crazy. But so let's kind of venture over into a little bit of kind of how you train the athletes over there at UMSLA. I always find it to be fascinating. Like you said, you're serving a little bit over 200 athletes, a lot of different sports and everything like that. In your tenure as a strength coach, first off, I want to ask, what have you found to be successful in the weight room?
I think that my biggest, I guess you could say my principles is I'm trying to, I'd use a whole body approach. I really think about balancing out their body.
Yeah.
And really what I mean by that, if whatever we're doing, like from a pushing standpoint, I'm going to make sure I've got something paired that they're going to pull. It's going to be agonist, antagonist, you know, whatever we're pushing, we're pulling. If we're doing something like that's quad based, we're going to make sure we're hitting the hamstrings just as much. We're going to work our adductors, abductors. I just find that I know with my own training early on and I know with what a lot of our kids do outside of the weight room or coming in from high school, they're not balanced. I mean, they're real front side, anterior, strong, a lot of them, but the backside, their posterior chain is just not very good. So I just want to balance out their body. And as far as kind of what we do, I mean, I kind of mix things up. I like APRE. I'm kind of using that right now with a few of our teams. I think it's a great setup. Use 5-3-1. I think those are pretty simple programs to use that are very effective. I've used the 1x20 method with beginner athletes that is pretty simple, but you know, very effective. I really like conjugate. I'm a big fan of that as far as my training goes. And then I was mixing it in and getting it going before the pandemic hit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was running conjugate style workouts with a couple of our teams. And I haven't done that since we've been back from the pandemic. We, you know, every university's kind of had unique situations, and we actually so we had shut our weight room down for like a year and a half. We closed up shop in March of 2020, and then didn't open our doors back until like June of 2021. So like we went through a whole school year of doing like a lot of body weight stuff and you know just minimal equipment things and.
Yeah.
Like really this year's been devoted to just kind of getting back to the basics and rebuilding a lot of our athletes from their time away.
So it's just been a lot of GPP work and everything like that.
Yeah. A lot of, and honestly, like that's a lot of what I do is general physical preparation.
Right.
You know, that's really, they get their specific work from their sport. You know, we might do a few things here and there that I guess you could say are more sport specific. But I look at more sports specific, more from, you know, what we might do from a conditioning standpoint or speed and agility. It's not really the weight room for me is like general prep anyways.
Yeah. I love that outlook. I think I've heard Day Tate talk about that, or Louis Simmons talk about like GP or GPP or weight lifting in the weight room is nothing but GPP for the football field or something like that. And I mean, that's so true. And it rings to be so well. What I love is you initially started that off. You talk about like your own set principles. Boy, oh boy, I could hammer this table right now and how important that is for a coach to be able to have their own set principles. Because if you have your set principles, boy, everything else kind of falls into place, right?
Oh, no doubt. You got to start with at least that, and you can kind of build around that.
Yeah, for sure. So what are some of the principles that you've kind of found to be within your own system and everything like that?
Well, really just whole body training, a balanced approach, progressive overload. Those are some of the real big ones. I mean, really, those are the big rocks in my what I do. You know, I'm trying to get better at mobility. I'm not gonna lie, like I'm not the best with mobility and flexibility. I'm trying to get better at that. You know, making that a mandatory thing in our workouts, whether it be warm up or cool down and whatnot. But you know what I mentioned before, those are like the big foundational pieces of what I try to do.
Yeah, and I love that you take that whole body approach too as well. And you talked about how, like, yeah, a lot of the athletes, they might be having some rounding of the shoulders, and they're so, you know, sitting a lot of the times, so really poor movement patterns and everything like that. Like, you in the weight room, you can kind of mitigate some of those problems through good whole body training. I think that's a great way to look at things, because if you start, you know, from the top down, I mean, you can really address a ton throughout a workout. And plus too, for the athlete, it's going to be more fun too, coming in the weight room. You talked about that at the beginning. It's like, you want it to be a welcoming environment. If they're just coming in, they're kind of doing the same mundane things over and over again. You know, it's going to kind of probably get a little bit stale for me. So I love that whole body approach that you talked about.
And I guess one thing I forgot to mention is variation. Yeah. So I'm a big every 3 to 4 weeks, I'm changing up a lot of our accessory stuff. Cause I just, you know, like our main movements will stay the same. You know, we'll trap bar deadlift. We'll do some kind of like squat motion, whether it be like front squat, back squat, split squat, rear foot elevated. We normally bench press as our upper body strength movement, but like all our accessory stuff, I just try to change it every 3 to 4 weeks just to vary it. You know, I get bored personally seeing the same stuff over and over. I feel like most of our athletes do as well. So they like seeing, oh, what's going to be on the next workout card, you know. What crazy bad exercises going away that, you know, is for what I think of like our volleyball program, we've been doing like eccentric pull-ups, and they're like, oh man, I can't wait till those things go away. So this block, I'm making them hold the pull-up now. So they're like, oh man, this is probably worse, you know, but just trying to just change things up a little bit, find out, you know, kind of what they like, what they don't like, what works, what doesn't work. You know, just spice it up a little bit.
Yeah, that's true. And like not being married to the exercises too as well. Like I think sometimes some coaches I've talked to before, it's like, hey, you know, maybe try and change things up a little bit, might bring a little bit more buy-in from the athletes. And plus too, like you said, as a coach, I don't want to keep doing the same stuff over and over again. There's a lot of different ways to skin the cat. Let's try it maybe this way. I think that keeps things fresh, most importantly for the athlete. I think being able to set up your programming to where you're able to do that, man, that can have a lot of benefits in the long run. You know, when I think of like programming for a college athlete, from their first year to their fourth year, how much does it kind of, you know, where you're at, I know you've been there for a little, you know, quite a bit of time. What does that kind of look like for you where when you talk to a freshman, like, hey, by your senior year, I hope you know, to have you established from here. Do you have those conversations? What do you kind of look at?
Well, we do, but, you know, one frustrating or challenge thing that I deal with at this level is it gets inconsistent. So it's really hard for a lot of our kids to make a ton of progress to where, like, our seniors, like, doing something vastly different from our freshmen, because really the way it's set up at the Division II level, or at least where I'm at, we've got our fall and we got our spring semester. So, you know, you're going to have 12 to 13 weeks of training, pretty consistent training. You know, our coaches are going to have the kids in the weight room, you know, and they're going to be able to do things and make progress and get better. But our kids are not required to stick around in the summer, you know, and I mentioned earlier, I've got 250 student athletes. And really the reality at my school is I probably have less than 20 that stick around in the summer.
Okay.
And so the ones that go home, like, you don't really know, like, you know, they're given programs, they're given things to do, you know, you don't know that they're going to do things like consistently, you know, and mm-hmm. you don't really know that you're going to be able to progress them from what you did in the spring to the fall, you know, because a lot of times, honestly, I don't want to say you're starting over, but you're starting a couple steps back and you got to kind of rebuild.
Absolutely.
So it's kind of a lot of just peaks and valleys. And I mean, really where it changes from an intensity standpoint, because as the kids get older, they get stronger.
Right.
So, you know, if we're running APRE or we're running 5-3-1, their intensity is going to be higher because they're stronger. Mm. Whereas the freshmen, you know, maybe they're not very strong. So their intensity is a lot lower, but the volume and stuff, the volume is going to be very consistent with my freshman and my senior, to be honest. I mean, sometimes my seniors, we lessen the volume because they're older and they can't handle as much. So it can kind of get a little bit of individual here and there, but it's very similar, yeah. Truthfully, across the board.
So in the way that that kind of sets up, it sounds like to me, boy, in-season training has got to be massively huge for you when you guys can get into that weight room.
Yeah, it can be, it, you know, and it should be, but yeah. it can be hit or miss with some of our coaches. I mean, right. we try to get 2 days a week.
Yeah.
Some of our sports even try to go three, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But some, I mean, the nature of their sport, like if I look at like softball and baseball, they'll play like a lot of weekend and midweek games. Some weeks they're only going to get one opportunity to lift. So, and like this year was kind of crazy with our basketball programs. They had some games that were missed early on due to COVID. Mm-hmm. And then they had to make up a bunch of games towards the middle and end of their season. So there were a lot of weeks where they were playing three games. They couldn't lift three. They couldn't lift 2 days in the week. They, you know, yeah. We had to cut back to one. We had to do a lot of mobility, flexibility, and just kind of get into the season. So it just kind of varies from team to team and how their schedule shakes out. You know, in a perfect world, it would just – their schedule would be their schedule and it would never change. But, you know, kind of touching on baseball and softball, you know, they might – a lot of times they're going to be just on the weekend. Well, if they have rainouts, they might push their games – to Friday or Monday, and it might alter their lifting schedule. So you just got to be adaptable. In season, you have to be adaptable. Yeah. I mean, I really honestly, my workouts are a lot of times are day to day, week to week, just because so many things are changing in season. So yeah. You just got to be willing to change with whatever's thrown at you.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that as far as like the adapting, especially in the in season when schedules are going crazy. And like you said, you never know if there might be a rainout or anything like that. But the other thing too, as well, that I heard you kind of mention in there is like you're accounting for all of the volume that they're getting and the CNS demand they're getting from their sport. So being able to program around that too, as well, I mean, that's huge because you don't want to overcook the cake, right? You don't want to bake it too much. If they come into the weight room after a tough weekend and you're just frying the system, it's like, well, maybe we need to just do some mobility and some light work in here. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure. I mean, you can honestly tell by going and watching a practice, you can tell, I've heard a lot of people say this and it rings true. When they get there, you know, if they're chatty, if they're, you know, yeah. having a good time before you even start, you know, they're probably ready to go. But if they're tired and they're barely awake, you know, you probably want to cut some things back and change some of the things that you've got planned because they just probably can't handle it for the day.
Yeah. And I'm sure it goes back to the beginning of our conversation, like having a relationship and being able to have a conversation with the athletes of like, hey, I know you guys had games over the weekend. How are we feeling today? You know, you might have a certain workout written up and after having a conversation, it's like, man, we might need to go to plan B for all of this. Again, that relationship side, I can't hammer it enough. You've talked about it a ton. It's like just how important that is from a coaching standpoint.
For sure. You know, and I try to with each of our teams, there's a couple kids that I try to lean on and get some feedback from them, like how the whole group's feeling, you know, how they're feeling, you know, and I try to make it, you know, normally not our bottom kids. And sometimes you got to be careful with the top kids because they can go hard every day.
Right.
You know, you try to maybe find that medium kid that's going to probably have a little bit more perspective and be a little bit more honest to give you some real feedback. So yeah, just talking with them, they'll let you know.
Yeah, the athletes will definitely let you know what's going on. And I love that you just talked about that, like finding somebody in the middle. They can give you that nice, honest opinion because we all know that stud athlete that's, no matter what, they're going 100%. They're like, oh yeah, sure, we're good. And then the bottom one that's like, well, you know, I'm a little tight hamstring and stuff like that. So that's some great advice. I'm going to take that and steal that from you. Well, I want to kind of transition over to something a little bit that we talked about beforehand too, as well, is like, you started a PhD program, and that's something that I've seen. I've had a couple of coaches on here that have started that too as well. What has that experience been like for you in growing in your education and stuff like that? What have you learned, and where do you kind of think things are heading?
Well, I'll tell you, going back to school, which is something I really never thought I would do. I can honestly say this is the first time I've actually been interested in school and really wanted to put forth like a really good effort to learn things. Yeah. Like when I was in my undergrad, I was there to honestly be a shot putter. Like I was like, I want to be a thrower.
Right.
You know, I want to compete. And then when I was in my master's, I'm like, I just want to get done with this graduate assistant position to get a job or whatever. So this is the first time in my life I really feel like, okay, I want to learn something. But I kind of started the process after I started adjuncting. So I've taught a couple classes throughout the last few years at UMSL. The idea just got brought to me by the head of the physical education department at UMSL.
Yeah.
He's like, have you ever thought about, you know, going back and doing some doctorate work? And I'm like, you know, I've kind of thought about it. I'm like, I don't know that I'll have time. I don't know that I could get in, you know, so on and so forth. And he's like, well, you know, he kind of found out my grades and kind of found out my time demands. He's like, I think you could do it. So he kind of like got me really thinking about it. And, you know, the next thing I know, I'm applying for it. I'm going through the interview process. And then all of a sudden I'm in the program. And like this program, it's called Teaching and Learning Processes. And really what it is it's a lot of like, how do you research? Mm-hmm. You know, how do you read research? How do you write research? How do you go through all that process? I mean, that's by and large what the program is. And then you've got some classes, like got some educational classes, some physical education classes. I've done a couple. We don't have really much of an exercise science program in UMSL.
Okay.
So I haven't really been able to do anything in that realm, but it's a lot of general stuff. And so really the whole setup of this program is to learn how to read and write research and then get to your dissertation, have something that you're going to do your dissertation on. So I went through 4 years of the education. Last semester, I took my comp exams. I passed them, and now I'm like in a dissertation proposal class on how I'm going to propose something. And then next year I'll be doing the dissertation. And it's not on, like, right now it's not on sports performance. I've kind of went more of the physical education route just to kind of have something a little bit different.
Yeah.
That was my undergraduate degree. So like I'm doing something with technology and physical education. I'm going to eventually here soon, interview a bunch of physical education teachers and ask them a bunch of questions and take a lot of those answers and kind of take my dissertation, like make those answers my dissertation. So it's kind of broad right now, but I don't know. I went back to challenge myself.
Mm-hmm.
I always think big picture, you know what, like I'm 40. I know I'm going to be working and doing things for about probably 25 more years. What could be the next step? I don't know what that is. I mean, I don't even know if I'll ever teach. I might be a strength coach for the next 25 years. I'm not really sure, but I wanted to open up my options just in case, you know, I wanted to cash in on those options because you just never know. Exactly. You never know what that next step could be. You never know like who you're working with or what you're doing, what that opportunity can lead to in the future. So I just figured, what the heck? I got the opportunity. I might as well go for it. You know, and I'm just kind of, I'm 4 years in and, you know, hopefully I'll be done in a year. And I don't know. It's been an interesting process.
I just had a family member that went through the same thing. And it's a wild experience getting your PhD, especially the last, you know, when you have to give that dissertation and stuff like that and defend it. Oh man, that is like nerve wracking. And, you know, best of luck to you with it. Cause that, I love that you're doing it. If you had some advice for coaches or people that were maybe looking into it, what would you kind of give to them?
Well, I would say if you're going to do it, I mean, make sure you're not doing it just to like, you're doing it because you want to be a better strength and conditioning coach. I mean, it's not going to make you a better strength and conditioning coach.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to make you better at research. I mean, that's really what it's going to do. Now, maybe it's going to help you research areas of sport performance better, but it's not necessarily making me a better strength and conditioning coach. You know, have like some big picture idea, you know, maybe you might want to teach, you know, maybe you want to get into administration. I don't know, have some kind of goal beyond the weight room. Because it's a heck of a process to go through. If you know you're going to stay and I don't want to say just in the weight room, but if you know you're going to be a strength coach and that's what you're going to be, it might not be worth putting all that time and money into.
Exactly. I think that's great advice to give people, especially from the big picture standpoint. I think that's a lot of times a big thing where you need to be able to have that big picture goal on where do you kind of see things going? Because like you said, you're going to have a lot more opportunities with the PhD behind you. If you know, whatever you want to do, I think that's important to be able to have those options and know that, hey, like I can do a lot more with my time and everything like that as well. So like I said, good luck to you. This is it's a very awesome thing that you're doing. And I know you're going to do a lot of great things once you get that done.
Well, I'm going to probably need it. Cause you know, they always say like, and it's true, like the coursework hasn't been bad, but I'm getting ready to really have an understanding really soon what the process really is. Yeah, I haven't quite kind of dipped my toe in there. I asked me in about a year, I might be like, whoa, you know.
I can't wait. Yeah, I'll reach out to you a year from now and just be like, hey, so how are things going? And you're like, you just send me this long message. And I'm like, oh, okay, now I know what he's talking about. That's for sure. Well, kind of the last couple of things I wanted to get out here and talk to you about is I love a strength coach that competes. We talked before the podcast about this. You know, coach, you've done bodybuilding show and you've done some powerlifting too as well. Number one, I'm sure it's awesome just to, and you know, we talked before about this, just being able to compete, but two, it helps probably as strength coach too as well, right?
Sure. Yeah. So I got done competing and I'm like, what do I do with myself? You know, I kind of got in a rut, didn't know what I wanted to do. So I did a bodybuilding show. I kind of got challenged to do one. I realized, so the process was really cool. Like being structured in your diet, being structured in your workouts. I mean, I don't think I've ever been that focused in my life on anything, but the actual show part of it, I just really had no interest like in getting up on stage and flexing and doing all that stuff. So I kind of knew once I got there, I'm like, yeah, this isn't for me. You know, I'm like, I just, you know, it's just kind of weird. So like, I just, but it's crazy. You know, the whole process of it's pretty awesome. But powerlifting's been a lot of fun. I'm not really a good powerlifter. I mean, my goal, I think later this year is a total over 1300. It's a humbling experience. Yep. When I kind of did my first couple, back like, oh man, like 7 years ago, I didn't really know what to expect. You know, I would do my training, I would be lifting and I'd kind of see what my athletes were doing. And I'm like, oh, you know, I'm fairly strong, man. Like I did my first competition. I'm like, where do these people come from? Yeah. Like just seeing people my size, like squatting 150 pounds more than I do, benching 100 pounds more than I do. Like I used to think having like a deadlift around, I don't know, upper 400s, 500 pounds is just great. And it's like, no, not really. You know, there's guys, you know, pulling 700.
It's crazy.
There's women pulling 500 pounds. I'm like, geez Louise. Like, so it's really humbling. And it's just been awesome. Like doing the meets, like setting goals, you know, just trying to go out there and, you know, improve on your, like for myself, just improving myself. And just kind of being in an environment where people will cheer you on. And I remember my last meet, like I'm grinding out my last squat and people are yelling and screaming for me and they don't know who I am.
Yeah.
You know, and it's fun. And with the athletes, I mean, some of them know I compete, you know, and they were wishing me luck or asking me how I did in the competition. And I think some of them like they see that I train and that it's still important to me. And so I think I would think it gives me more credibility when I'm saying, you know, what I'm saying, you know, I'm doing what I'm asking you to do. You know, I believe that helps. I mean, I got to believe it helps.
Yeah. You're practicing what you preach, right? You're actually in the trenches. I had a coach give me that advice when I was an intern early in my career. He's like, if they don't see that you're working hard in here, he's like, it's going to be a hard time for them. You know, it's not the end all be all, but he's like, and he told me, he's like, you don't have to be squatting 500 pounds, but he's like, do something. You know, if they see you doing something, that'll go a long way in building that relationship and buy-in with the athlete and coach. It's funny you talk about the humbling experience of powerlifting. I mean, I can remember my first one, 73-year-old man outbenched me. He benched like 350. It was unbelievable. And you're just like, and the same thing, you just kind of stand and you're like, where do these people come from? Like, what's, like, what is in, like, what water are they drinking? What are they doing?
Yeah. I had this woman and so I lifted in the 198 class this last meet. She was 165 and just fit, great shape, young. She pulled what I pulled in deadlift. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, wow, like, how are you pulling like almost 500 pounds? I'm like, wow, it was so cool. It was so cool to watch. So humbling.
Yeah. it's a great experience. I highly suggest coaches just do one meet, and once you do one, you'll end up doing two, and then you'll be hooked forever. So that's for sure. Well, Coach McMillan, we'll go ahead and get you out of here. Before we get you out, and our last question, you know, if people want to follow you, they want to see what you and your athletes are doing, how can they follow you?
Well, I kind of wrote this down because I forget. So on Instagram, we're UMSL Sports. So at UMSL Sports, UMSLSPORTS. We're doing some stuff with that. I was telling Matt before, I've been fortunate enough to have an intern this semester, a digital marketing intern, and she's handling like all of our Instagram stuff right now.
Awesome.
And she's doing a great job, and I can't thank her enough. And then Twitter, we're at UMSL_SP. We're not doing as much with Twitter, but Instagram's our big thing. Instagram and Twitter for me, I don't do a whole lot on there. I'm just team_McMillan7199. I just retweet stuff. I might comment here and there. That's Instagram, and then Twitter's TeamMcMillan99. And again, I don't post a whole lot of stuff. It's more family stuff and just retweeting and liking stuff. I need to get better at social media. I'm not.
Hey, it's a good thing. So social media can have its good, its perks, but it can be a rabbit hole you go down for sure. But I highly suggest people go out and reach out to you, Coach. We'll get you out of here. Last question. What are you grateful for?
Oh man, my family, my wife, my kids. My wife's awesome. She's real supportive in everything I do, whether it be for my career. She was willing to move anywhere that I wanted to initially to try to make college coaching a thing.
Yep.
And, we're lucky we were able to move back to our hometown. So we've been lucky in that regard when I came back to UMSL. So her, my kids, my three kids, they challenge me. They keep me honest. And it's just kind of fun seeing them grow up and get involved in things and, you know, learn things and whatnot. And then I'm thankful for my job. I'm able to do a job like in my hometown. You know, I live in St. Charles where I grew up, and I work in St. Louis, and I drive 15 minutes to work, and I'm around all my family. I think pretty much no coach has that, or very few. I'm thankful for the people I work with. The coaches I work with, you know, they let me do my thing. They support me. Our student athletes are great. They're fun to work with. They challenge me. They challenge themselves. And our administrators are, again, they let me do what I need to do. And they're supportive and they have my back. And I that's really all you can ask for, you know, just strong family, strong work life. I mean, I'm just super blessed, super thankful.
Man, that's a lot to be thankful for, grateful for, Coach McMillan. Definitely big things are going down to UMSL, and I'm so glad to be able to have you on the podcast this week. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, thanks so much, man. I really appreciate you. I appreciate your time and setting this up. Yeah, it's awesome.
Absolutely. Well, everybody, make sure you go follow Coach McMillan, see what they're doing, and everybody, stay strong.